And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's the world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Nicole, right as we were going on the air today, she said, "You okay? You sound a little tired." Well, as you know, Nicole, I was up very late Saturday night.
You were.
I'm not used to this anymore.
I know. I was very impressed.
It was so weird because not that long ago, my default, you know, when I was only sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night, which I did for 35 years, I finally fixed that. But I'd go to sleep at, you know, 2, 3 a.m., and I'd get up at 6, 7 a.m., and that was my life. But I would stay up late every night. Now, if I stay up late one night, now that I've fixed my sleep thing, man, it goofs me up.
Throws you off.
But what a reason to stay up late.
It was fun, right?
It was awesome. It was an auction on Saturday for the Family First? Am I saying that right?
Stronger Families.
I knew I was saying it wrong. Stronger Family Foundation. And they provide gifts, grants, to families of first responders, whether it be our military people and, you know, who suffer such a high rate of PTSD, our police officers, our firefighters who also have to deal with PTSD, but there's too often a high divorce rate among these families. And it is all about building stronger families, which is, I think, I don't know if there's anything more important in our society, in our world, than to try to encourage strength and support and infrastructure and intactness. And I don't even think intactness is a word, but keeping intact families. I don't know if there's anything more that we could do for children and for our society than to try to encourage strong, intact families. So it was a great event. And I'm going to tell you something about that event, Nicole.
Okay.
So Brandy Cruz hosted a table, invited me, my friend Corey and his wife, one of my great sponsors, Marnard. You were there. Jeanette, who's the rock star at event production at the radio station. Jeanette Warren, she was there. So it was a great group of people. But I was watching Curly work as an auctioneer. And isn't his website literally worldsgreatestauctioneer.com?
It used to be, but no. Now it's johncurly.auction.
Oh, it's not World's Greatest Auctioneer?
That's his, well, slogan, maybe, I guess.
Well, I thought he used to have that as his website.
It's a self-proclaimed thing.
But so I'm watching him work, and as I was watching, not at the moment, but as I was, my wife couldn't come because she had a tennis match. So I took an Uber home. And I was reflecting on how wonderful it is to be at the stage of life that I'm at now. And let me explain real quick. And I don't know if this is relatable to people, but, you know, for 50 years, more than that, if somebody was to pick one word to describe me, that word would be, do you know the answer, Nicole? What would you say?
To describe you?
One word.
Nah, what is it?
Competitive.
Yes, that's a good
competitive.
One.
Competitive. And that, it served me very well in many, many ways. Professionally and coaching and climbing the ladder of doing this job and wanting to be the best I could be as a husband and a father and all of that. And I was driven not just by pure love, but also by, you know, this competitive fire. I wanted to be better than anybody and everything. And you can vouch for that because you help Curly with his auctions a lot.
Correct.
You travel around the country. You're his aide de camp in his auction biz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And how many people in the broadcast biz do you know who do auctions on the side?
Four.
Okay. There are lots. Because I used to do auctions.
Personally,
on the side.
I know four.
Okay. I used to do auctions on the side, and I didn't particularly enjoy it, but I was okay at it. But I wasn't driven to be the best at it. But I had so many thoughts as I was riding home from this event on Saturday, because I've talked about this before, and John has talked about this before. When Curly first started at Cairo, I don't think we liked each other very much. I'm pretty sure he didn't like me. I know I didn't like him, and I don't know why. But I think it was that I thought his sense of humor took a couple shots at me. I was like, I don't know if I like that. And I just thought, okay, now here's another person coming in. I got to knock him down too, because I want to be on top. I want to beat everybody. And then about 3 years ago, I was going through the worst hell of my life professionally. Not just professional. It was really the worst hell of my life, period. And Nicole, my wife, my daughters, Nicole, and John Curley, who I didn't know very well. John would be like the first person to text me in the mornings. Hey, I'm praying for you. He'd be the last person to call me at night. And I just thought, this is the best friend you could possibly ask for. I'm the best. So, and I realized I'm never going to be a good auctioneer. And so as I was there Saturday night and I was watching him work, I mean, he's not just the world's greatest auctioneer. I've never seen anything like that, Nicole.
I know.
I was asking you so many questions about, so who advances the music and how do they set the beat and who picks the songs?
It's magic.
No, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I was sitting there and you saw me, I was sitting there just beaming. And I wouldn't have been capable of that like 10, 20 years ago. Because it would be, oh man, maybe I could do it better than that guy. Instead, it's like, no, this is my dear friend, and I'm watching a master who's as good as anybody at what he does here. And it was just absolutely brilliant and delightful and joyful. I was so joy-filled because, and this gets back to where I am in life right now, instead of everything having to be a competition, I can just be happy for people who are great in whatever they choose to do. Because all I care about now is this radio show professionally. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be syndicated. I don't want to be on Fox. You know, I would have been jealous of Jason Rance and all of his Tucker Carlson gigs 10 years ago. But I don't want to do that. I want to do the best radio show that I can possibly do, and we're getting richly rewarded with your response to the show. But Saturday was just a great reminder of while being competitive was one of my greatest virtues in achieving what I've achieved, and it was also a vice in keeping me from appreciating some of the things I just mentioned now. And now I'm just in a place where I know where I am. I know what I want to do. There's nothing else I want to do besides this radio show right now. That might change in a few years. And when it does, I'll be the best at whatever next is coming. But right now, and so as I sat and watched Curly, who's incredible.
I think that something that you both have in common and that you are two of the best people I know at is hard work that you put into your crafts, right? So you guys go above and beyond to make sure that what you say every day and what he presents on stage is the best for a reason. There's so much science that John has put into, or that he's researched and he's put in so much work to know the audience, know what gets people the bid, know how to make this these auctions successful. So it's not just getting up there and talking fast or whatever it is. It's not just getting up there and being funny John. I mean, he's mastered it. And just as you have on this end, you have mastered what we do here and everything.
That's very sweet.
It's you're both and richly rewarded by hard work.
I feel the same way about you too, and what you do and what you bring to the show and everything. And I've gone on way too long about this, but
something about hard work, you know. I think people sometimes now just try to get by, expect things, to think they deserve things, entitled to things, and people forget what hard work can do for you.
Yeah, and I wanted to be when I was coaching. I wanted to be the best coach in the state, and I had some pretty good success and even earned that honor. And now I want to be the best talk show host. But it gets tougher to be the best at, you know, three. I wanted to be the best backgammon player in the world at one point and all this other stuff. But now I just want to do this radio show. But anyway, so next time you go to a Curly auction, understand, I've been to a million auctions, and it's like watching Little Leaguers, or you go to one where John's the auctioneer, and it's like, okay, there's Mike Trout, there's Aaron Judge, all these other Little Leaguers, forget about them, because now we're in the big leagues here. Should I move on? Should I talk about something else here?
Sure.
I wasn't planning
lots to talk about today.
Long. Okay, we got a lot. Yeah,
we have Tom Nelson coming up. And by the way, the bear did not kill the woman.
I know.
There's a little bit of a misspeak there, and we've got a couple texts, and we realized the bear did not kill the woman, but he tried to.
She tried.
I mean.
That's me saying I want to be the best, and then I said the bear killed the woman in Leavenworth, and she's going to recover. So thank you. Okay. Seattle Middle School, here's some exciting news, is announcing that they are going to have some parent-teacher conferences, but only for BIPOC parents. If you are a white parent of a white kid, do not expect to meet with your teacher at Mercer Middle School in Seattle. Mercer Middle School says it's impossible to give all parents a conference in one day, so they're focusing on students further from educational justice. So teacher conference day on Friday, November 18th. Since we can't meet with every family, we're prioritizing to meet with families of students furthest from educational justice. And, you know, I talked about this last week at a public event I had. If you did that walk of privilege walk, you know, you don't have a mom or dad, take a step back. Well, that's me, step back. You're born into poverty, take a step back, step back. Nobody in your family's ever gone to college, step back. I would have gone crashing through the back wall. But in the sick world of the Seattle Public Schools, I would have been a child of privilege. And my mom wouldn't have been allowed to meet with the teachers because she was white. I tell you what, the more the left gets firmly ingrained, the more shockingly racist they are. Speaking of which, this just resurfaced. Actor Morgan Freeman, he was on 60 Minutes back when Mike Wallace was still living. And I want you to hear this, because Mike Wallace wanted to go down the race-baiting route. And listen to how beautifully Morgan Freeman dealt with that.
Black History Month, you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? come on, tell me.
I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah. Do you want one?
No, no, no. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a Black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
I love that. I love that. Because that's the exact opposite of what's happening in our schools right now, where they're teaching kids to hate, to resent, to feel guilty based on their own skin color and the skin color of their classmates. It is all designed to divide, because the more divided, the more you can conquer. And that's what it's all about. And people like Morgan Freeman, he knows. He knows. And he has the great response to anybody who tries to turn things into something they are not. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then a woman was attacked by a bear in Leavenworth Saturday morning. She went to the hospital. She is going to live. But the bear did not. The state of Washington got hounds. They tracked. They killed the bear. She's a mama with two little cubs. Is that the way to handle this? I'm going to talk to my outdoor expert, the great Tom Nelson, next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, this weekend I heard about a story that made me sad. There was a woman in Leavenworth about 7 a.m. She wanted to take her dogs out into the park. Also in the park was a mama bear, a sow with two little baby bear cubs. And the mama bear ran at the woman, attacked her. The injuries are not life-threatening, but the woman had to be taken to the hospital. The bear was hunted down and killed because of this attack on a human. And because, for all things outdoors, I have the perfect outdoorsy friend, Tom Nelson, who you can hear on The Outdoor Line every Saturday morning on 710 Seattle Sport. He joins us from the hinterlands of Montana. Hello, Tom.
Good afternoon to you, Dory Monson. From the town of St. Regis, where the political scenario is such that somebody running for office is running for the position of coroner and sheriff. It's small town USA, my friend.
That's not very politically correct around here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw this story that I sent you, two bear cubs, a mama, and a human being and her doggies get in the midst of all of that. So the bear attacks the woman. Not that unusual, right?
Complete tragedy, obviously. You know, on both sides, nobody wins in these scenarios, Dory. And the saddest thing is it was things like this, encounters like this, are avoidable, all right? The thing of it is, bears this time of year, they're trying to pack on as much as they can because they're coming into hibernation. They're going to sleep during the winter. So the feeding drive, is at a premium. This unfortunate lady got between a sow and her cubs. And in doing so, provoked a protection response from this bear. The tragedy of this is that WDFW has taken this woke wildlife management to a situation where they're making political decisions for biological necessities require biological decisions, and they're making biological decisions for political considerations. That we have closed spring bear hunting in the state of Washington. We are further encroaching on the bear's habitat, Dory, and so that's a 1-2 punch that leads to these interactions now. WDFW had to step up, get their dogs out on these bears, and take this bear down. So now these two cubs, they had to be taken to a wildlife facility. There's a woman in the hospital, and this is completely avoidable. If we were allowed, if we were allowed to hunt as we have in the past, situations like this would be much further reduced.
And you know my default position on this. I'm just sad that this mama bear was acting like a mama bear acts and was doing what thousands of years of instinct in her DNA told her to do, and she takes one between the eyes because of it. That's very sad. But I will also say, you did tell me, you've been on my show talking about Department of Fish and Wildlife and what they've done with the elk runs and what they've done with the bear hunting, and you warned all of us months and years ago that we were going to see more and more of these encounters in our state.
Let's roll back 15 years ago to a decision made, a citizens initiative at the time that was very, you know, ill-founded, that reduced our ability to keep our cat populations in check by eliminating hound hunting and bait hunting for cats. We used to be able to bait bears. We can't do that anymore either. So when bears in the wild, there's tons of bears in Washington, way more than you would think of. The bear populations are in a great place right now. So there is harvest opportunity there. And in doing so, we keep the bear populations in check, reducing human interaction, reducing damage to our forestry companies, because bears will tear apart trees to get the sugary sap inside a tree. This costs the foresters a bunch of potential revenue as well. And the only reason that our bear hunting efforts have been reduced is just touchy-feely, nonsensical, woke wildlife management.
Right.
It makes no sense. And we're putting the public at risk. Gee, where have I heard that before? Public safety is no longer a priority in Olympia, it seems.
Yeah. I also found it interesting that when they went looking for this mama bear to kill her, that they did use these Karelian bear dogs, which are very cool animals. But when they banned hound hunting in the state, and yet the state of Washington uses dogs when they want to go find something to kill, that seems a tiny bit hypocritical to me.
It makes no sense, Dory, and you hit the nail right on the head. All they've done with regard to hounds and especially cats is privatized it. Before, you had hunters out that love their dogs and train these dogs and use these dogs to hunt animals that are just amazingly difficult to hunt without the help of our four-footed friends, right? And so now we as taxpayers have to pay for this activity rather than the hunters buying tags and licenses and providing money for the state. But this is
no. This
is the greater problem with Olympia right now, is they have printed money on a federal level to the point where we can't really vote with our pocketbooks anymore. The state has so much money, Dory, that it doesn't matter.
They don't need
hunting and fishing license sales to carry on their agenda. And so it's just one less check we have on government. We consent to be governed, right? But we don't consent to be taxed into oblivion when the state's running, you know, an amazing budgetary surplus. And the insidious part of a budgetary surplus is they don't care about about the dollars that we spend in license fees anymore. It just doesn't matter to them.
Then they tell us we need to raise property taxes for homelessness and mental health and all the things that
they
should have already paid for. Hey, what's going to happen to those two baby cubs? I'm worried about them, Tom. Should I adopt one of them?
I would. I would love to have a bear. I could be Grizzly Nelly Adams or something, right? But the thing of it is, and there's another tragic situation. Here's two bear cubs that had their mother taken away from them, and so now they have to lead, you know, some kind of animal foster care. You know, again, if you're not making biological decisions for biological considerations, this is just like taking marital advice from O.J. Simpson, okay? I mean, seriously, there's a better way to do this, and it's follow the biology and follow the science. And again, where have we heard that before?
Radical concept. Okay. You know, you did give me an idea. You said there are way more bears than any of us would realize. I want to start by next year. I want to get bears the right to vote, because I have a feeling if we could get them counted in our elections, Because they're not going to vote for any of these woke nonsense people.
No, they're not.
We could turn this state redder than red in one election cycle.
The Bears already have a theme song. You could run the Bear Necessities. Just go straight Jungle Book. And they'd be all set.
And then finally, I wake up Sunday morning, pick up my phone bedside, and the first thing I see is this gory image of your leg that you texted me. What happened?
Well, I got an elk wreck.
Oh, no.
And there's no wreck like an elk wreck. I'm in Montana. I'm making my annual trip back here, and so you and Brock joined me in Sitka. Right before you guys got to town, I had some of my Montana hunting friends with me. My deal is I swap hunting trips for fishing trips in Alaska and whatnot. And so I I've never met one of these guys before. Super good dude. Brought us on his land, and we went elk hunting. I did not have a tag for a bull. I had the tag for a cow. So I was letting my friend shoot first because it's more difficult to get a male than it is a female, right? And so we ended up, he successfully harvested a beautiful 4x5 bull elk, 4 points on one side, 5 on the other, just a gorgeous bull, weighed about 500 pounds. And so drops down into this hole. We get him out of there, get the bull all broken down and into the back of our 4-seater ATV. So now we got 500 extra pounds of weight coming down here. And this is a piece of property I'd never been on before. And my buddy who owns the ATV was driving it. We started down a hill, and it was raining when we got this bull. Now, rain in Montana changes. They've got a special kind of mud in Montana.
Yes.
You remember my cousin Vinny, where there's a place in Missouri? We're famous for our mud, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're famous for their mud. And the road, it was dry when we came in. The rain had softened this hillside. We started slipping down this hill. This bull shifted, and we went 3 revolutions in this ATV rolling it down the hill. I landed on my feet, but I got whacked in the eye with something. I got whacked in the leg with something. I got whacked on the back of my hand. So yeah, I look like I've been in a fight with a bear cub or something here too.
Wow.
I got blasted pretty good.
But you rolled it 2.5 times, and you're not paralyzed and you're not dead.
Nope, just stupid. And the wife wanted me to send a picture of my black eye, and but the joke's on her. She's been sending them to all the family, but I'm gonna claim battered spouse syndrome. Okay, I'm gonna tell everybody that Kathy just punched me in the grill. So.
Okay, all right, got it. By the way, that's the only time anybody has ever used the phrase "bull shifted" on commercial radio and not been bleeped.
That was pure.
I was very impressed with your enunciation there.
Thank you very much.
Glad you're okay, and I'm sorry about the bears and the humans getting too close, and we need less woke management. That's the bottom line.
Let's manage our wildlife populations using biology rather than somebody's ideology.
There you go. Makes sense. All right, Tom, stay safe as much as possible. I'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks, dude. Talk to you
soon.
Okay.
All right, Tom Nelson, you can hear him every Saturday morning on The Outdoor Line on 710 Seattle Sports. Great show. Great man. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. Text me, 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476. Do you think they should have killed the mama bear? Let me know what you think. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, I just got my favorite text message of the day. I missed out on an opportunity when Tom Nelson was in the ATV that rolled 2.5 times down the hill. From the 360, Dory, you should have yelled at Tom. What the bleep were you thinking? This would have been my chance. You are right about that. Oh, man. Where were you when I needed you during the interview? A couple other things before we go. Oh, we got some good stuff here at the top of the hour, too. But one thing about our president, I told you that his descent into dementia This weekend in particular seemed to be getting worse and worse. He seemed to doze off during an MSNBC interview. He also talked about women's health care.
They don't teach you OGBYN about the health and safety relative to pregnancy.
OGBYN. I've always known that to be OBGYN. OGBYN. Well, that's the original gangsta doing obstetrics and gynecology. I'm pretty sure that's what OGBYN is. Also, I'm glad that he may have some say over our Second Amendment rights, because Joe Biden this weekend also made this bold proclamation.
My legislation says there can be no more than 8 bullets in a round, okay?
Okay, look, I know a little bit about guns, but can somebody explain that to me? How could you have no more than 8 bullets in a round? If you know the answer to that, please text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. I find it a little alarming if he thinks that I can have no more than...
My legislation says there can be no more than 8 bullets in a round, okay?
Okay. All right. No more than 8 bullets in a round. And then, how about the environment? On here, he was crystal clear.
The biggest thing is, though, that we have to change what we are, those things that are affect the environment.
Okay. So that is my clarion call to you. We must change those things that are affect the environment. And when you do, then we will, because then we can. But if you have no more than 8 bullets in a round, and you then go see your OGBYN, perhaps then we can all come together in love. At least, that's what I'm hoping. Let's see what else we got here. I see the Nancy Pelosi. She is trying to decide, you know, because they're also old. Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are a combined, just the two of them, are a combined 375 years old. So everybody's asking if Joe's going to run again. Will Pelosi?
You told Andrea Mitchell earlier this week, we need generational change, but in some cases there's no substitute for experience. Mm-hmm. Will you remain in leadership in the new Congress?
I'm not talking about that. I'm here to talk about how we win the election.
But to deliver on all these things.
I was only paying Andrea a compliment for all the experience that she has.
I see.
But the fact is, what we need to...
So you may or you may not.
I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about the future, America's working families, for the children. It's always about the children.
It's for the children. Okay, but a very, very important issue that we all care about is inflation. And I think we all want to know where Nancy Pelosi is on inflation.
And the fact is that when I hear people talk about inflation, as I heard him there, we have to change that subject.
Dang it. I really wanted to hear her opinion on it, but she refuses to talk about it. This is why, by the way, I think that I'm not predicting a Tiffany Smiley victory. She is still an underdog. But every national pundit, 538, Real Clear Politics, they're giving her a 10% chance or less. I'm telling you, as of today, October 24th, she has a 40% chance. And if this keeps going, I might even predict that she's going to win. But I'm not going to do it just for talk show purposes. I'm going to do it if I actually believe she has a better than 50-50 chance of winning. But she's moving in that direction. Okay, we've got a lot more to do, including what's happening at our schools. And a listener has accidentally tuned in and has a new name to call. I've never been called this name before. It hurts. I'll share it with you next here on the Dory Monson Show.